Chances are you might be listening to this podcast on your morning commute. And if that's the case, well, there's a chance that you're also either on the Dart or on the train. If that is you, I can almost bet that you've actually never really given much thought into what goes on in the behind the scenes of actually getting you to work on time. Or not on time. Let me explain.
Let me explain with Sean Defoe, a News Talk original.
Hi, it's Alex Rowley sitting in this week for Sean Defoe. Often the bane of our life, the Dart, whether you like it or not, has revolutionised commuting in Ireland. So, bringing 20 million passengers across Dublin every year, what type of operation does it take? Well, I've gotten some access behind the scenes for you. The first place we'll visit is the depot in Fairview, where all the Darts go to sleep at night and get better when they're sick. Oh, and by the way, we're about to go into a workshop here, so you'll need a hard hat. And I hope those are steel-toed shoes you have on.
My name's Paul Kelly. I'm the depot manager of Fairview Dart Depot.
I mean, we as passengers, we know like that over the last 40 years or so, your Dart either comes or it doesn't. You get on your Dart, you head into town, you have your earphones in. What goes on, I suppose, here behind the scenes on a busy morning to try and make that happen?
Well, we have different shifts here. We have a day shift, an evening shift and a night shift. So every train would have to get an exam, an A exam and a C exam, which would be just 30 days between these exams. An A exam would be kind of equivalent to an oil change on your car, and then the C exam would be a full service. Every day is different because you don't know what's going to happen. You can have like different problems on the line. It mightn't be down to the train, but it could be down to maybe a bridge strike or something like that. So the train you're looking to get back mightn't come back. So you have to look then, you have to redo the power plan again for that evening. I suppose from the general public, they don't see the work that we put in.
How many Darts are there actually that go out and about? Because, you know, you see, it seems like there's loads coming in, especially during rush hour from our perspective. Is there hundreds? Is there 50? Is there thousands?
Most days we'd have out, it was 120 Dart carriages, and they're made up of there's three different fleets, or four different fleets, I should say. There's the 8100 fleet, the 8500, the 8510, and the 8520 fleet. We have the old fleet, which is the 8100 fleet, which is 40 years old now. There were 76 carriages of that type. Now, they got a refurb in 2007 because of safety reasons. They had to brought it into the safety standard.
So you said they're obviously they're based here and in Bray, and you mentioned there the 8100. So that's kind of like a, let's say, a car is a Mercedes E-Class. This will be an 8100. It's the same, you know, that's what the name of the thing is.
Yeah, the 81. On an 81, you have an 81 end, which is the motor end, and the 83 end is the trailing car end.
So we're sitting on an 8100 at the moment. These are 40 years old. So these are here as long as the Dart's been here.
Yes, that's right. They went into service in 1984, and they're still in service today.
For people who maybe are down the country and they've never been on the Dart, what's the best way to describe what the Dart actually is, what it does, and what's so different about it?
It's a lot cleaner. Because it's not diesel, you know, to the environment. It's a lot smoother, faster. You know, you can go from station to station, you know, in a couple of minutes, you know. And then the new trains will have lots of other things, you know, comfort, passenger comfort, you know. The new trains will have a lot more systems on them, you know, for passenger information systems and that sort of thing, a lot more cameras. But the Dart in general has been a great success. The amount of people that get a Dart every day, you know, from Greystones to Malahide, from Howth to Dublin, you know what I mean? It's the increase in passenger numbers. We're going back to pre-COVID times, you know, yeah. which is great.
And Paul tells us about one particular challenge for them in the depot that you might not have actually expected.
There has been several graffiti attacks in the depot and out in the line. But we've found that some of the graffiti artists have come from Spain. They've often come in, flown in on a Friday evening, and they'd have a flight booked for Saturday morning going back. A few occasions they have been caught, and they've gone through the courts. But it's an ongoing situation. It costs the company a lot of money within the year. Yeah. I think last year there was nearly $500,000. It can be a nightmare at times, you know, if you get two or three hits in the one day or the one night.
Yeah.
Because it can reduce the service the following morning for the passengers, and it just has to be done, you know. We can't let trains out with graffiti on them.
And is it like a sport to them, nearly?
I don't know, there must be a group, some kind of a graffiti group that they all keep in contact with, and they all show their images up on whatever.
You ever got Banksy?
I don't know, there was a few of them. No, we haven't got him now. but there has been a few guys caught, and they have done a stretch and have been hit with fines over the years, you know.
Yeah.
Like, we do sting operations and that, you know, in certain areas. You know, if we're going to park trains at night, then we do a sting down in Bray, where the guards would be involved in it as well, and operation staff. So we'd kind of, we'd have lads hiding in the long grass, as the case may be. And then when they come up, we catch them, you know. And, you know, we catch them red-handed with the graffiti, with the cans of spray as well, so.
All right, Stephen, so you're an electrician here in Fairview. How long are you here?
2 years.
Is it, like, is it a long process to try and get in and become an electrician here? Like, do you have to do an apprenticeship, or can you, if you're an electrician already, do you come in, or?
Well, you can do both. Aaron here is an apprentice. I've been an electrician for 20-odd years before I came here. I just applied for a job, went through the interview process, and, yeah, worked out well for me.
I mean, what would you normally be doing on a day-to-day basis?
I mainly do fault finding modifications. Like, trains are 40 years old, but there's been constant upgrades through the years with, like, GPS systems, cameras, different telemetry data off the trains.
What's the best thing about working here then?
Something different to do every day. You might have faults, and our main job is to keep things moving out in the line, really. If a dart breaks down the line, it blocks everything up. It stops Belfast trains, stops Strahda trains, so our job is to keep everything running smoothly, really. Safety is our main concern, I suppose, really.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, is it more dangerous working on this than maybe the lads down who are working on the diesel trains?
You have to be careful of the overheads, obviously. There's 1500 volts in them. If you're down below a train, everything has to be completely isolated. One mistake with 1500 volts and you're in trouble.
That's
so
it, yeah. So this is how the darts are actually in good nick to go out. And in fairness, anytime I've used it anyway, it's been fairly clean. Although I'm sure some of you have your own stories about some of the not-so-clean darts. I don't use the dart very often, as I actually don't live in Dublin, so I do drive a good bit. Sorry, not sorry, if the Green Party are listening. And one of the banes of driving, though, is getting caught at those pesky level crossings. Yep, they're controlled in a little building just beside Connolly Station. I believe there's also some other control centres across the country. There's definitely one in Houston, but the only one we visited was Connolly. Oh, and by the way, you can take your hard hat off now. Let's go in and chat to a few people there.
I'm John O'Connor, the CTC duty manager.
Okay, John, so we're here in one of your Éireann Road Éireann's control centres, and this is where the dart is controlled from, essentially. So you're the man, or you're part of a team responsible for getting people to work on time, basically.
We try our best, yes. That's our goal.
What sort of work goes into it? I mean, for people who are at home, kind of describe what we're looking at here.
Quite difficult. You're looking at a lot of computer screens, diagrams, train IDs. It's in the background, there's all sorts, like, we'd be there, we'd be looking at scheduling, making sure the trains are time. Like, we have another team, our operations team now, with the weekends, with the specials for matches and things like that. That goes on in the background. So there's a whole lot, like, apart from the train just moving, it takes a hell of a lot to move. Like, we have Garrett looking after the overheads. Garrett's to make sure there's a power supply. In case of a fault, he'll have to switch to an alternative feed to get power into the dart. Leo will be making sure that whatever's running is running on time. We have enough sets out there. Everything is okay for the evening. So any problems that we have now, deal with now to get them sorted for the peak evening, people going home.
How much can go wrong here?
Everything can go wrong very quickly, and we have a 10-minute timetable on the dart. So if you get a diesel train that would break down, the likes of a Belfast train, and that would just block the line, let's say a line closure at some stage, and that's just chaos now, especially now people going home the evening time. Now what we can do, we might be able to say run trains as far as Clongriffin and turn them back. That means like Malahide and Port Marnock don't get a service until the line is clear. So things like that are the worst. And where the dart, in fairness, 40 years old, but they're very reliable. Very rare you hear of a dart failing. Yeah. You know, due to a fault with the train itself. And if it does pick a fault up on roof, most of the time it can be resolved.
Yeah.
You know, without causing any, real delays, a couple of minutes.
From the perspective of the control room, obviously the dart's 40 years old. At one stage, the control room was probably controlling just trains rather than trains and dart services. So is it hard to try and manage, such a rapid transit in between all the normal, train lines?
I wouldn't say hard to manage. It keeps you busy. You know, we have enough staff in the room, in the building, you know, to look after things. But it does it. The Dart would take the vast majority of your time, or not just the Dart, just the suburban service in general. You have the Drogheda's minute services, things like that. So, because obviously, being the busiest of the lot, you know. Whereas you do have, you know, Belfast, Russell Airlines. It wouldn't be going commuting to and from work to Belfast. Yeah. You know, you might be going up for a meeting and things, but the Dart is, you know, thousands of people every morning using the Dart, getting into work, and thousands, the same people, going back home the evening. You have to make sure you keep the service on time, because a lot of people going home be collecting kids from creches and things like that, so any delays is going to affect them.
Yeah.
So we have to keep them moving. A problem we do have a bit is with our level crossings here, cars crashing into them, and, you know, just general interference with them, that causes problems. Now, if a car, we had it there recently, the wife was on one morning, early in the morning, a truck, but it takes the barriers down, then we have big delays. If they get trying to get crews out to repair and staff, especially if you rush hour, because the problem we have in rush hour traffic, air crews are stuck in it. So that, like I said, that does cause the problems. But I wouldn't say it does happen, but not on a daily basis, not a regular occurrence. Most days, we'll go through just minor delays. You know, might be a couple of minutes in the station, somebody dropped their phone down the tracks, the driver to jump down and pick it up. But overall, it's quite good.
So now you know how those delays can happen, how easily they can happen, and whose fault really it can be. Sometimes nobody's. And also how the trains are able to run along without crashing into each other. Because let's face it, we've all thought about that at least once. Like, how they do that? But here's one thing I bet you've never thought of. You know the voice on the Dart? Yeah, the one that says,
"The next station is Pier Station. Please mind the gap."
Yeah, that one. Who is it? It's a guy called
Michael Cummin, known at the moment as the voice of the Dart and Irish Rail. 25 years ago, the decision was made to automate the voices. And there's actually a really good reason, because it's particularly helpful, first of all, to visitors, but also people who are visually impaired to know what station's coming up. So there was a practical reason to it, as well as just having a voice on the train. So if I said to you, "The next station is Sandymount," or "Please stand clear of the closing doors," or "Seats are not for feet," and of course the final one is, "Please mind the gap."
Please mind the gap, not like London where they just tell you to mind the gap.
Apparently this is the big thing at the moment. It's all about this politeness thing, and I don't even remember that, because that was one of the ones that was recorded 25 years ago. So yeah, that's still me going, "Please mind the gap."
And are you doing the Irish as well?
I used to do the Irish. You see, this is a bit of a touchy subject, because I did the Irish for about 15 of those years, maybe a little bit more, maybe 20. And an academic then decided that my Irish was a little bit too inconsistent, because I went to school in Cork, Limerick, and in Swords, and in Drogheda,
okay,
as I was growing up. And apparently I wasn't consistent enough. So a wonderful man called Malachy McKenna, who's an actor and author, took over about, I think it's maybe 5 to 8 years ago. We're trying to remember the other day. And so because our voices sound fairly similar, when we come to doing the famous Bray Bray, it's actually two different voices.
No way.
It is. It's not me saying Bray Bray twice. It's actually me saying Bray, and then Malachy says Bray.
You also do the station ones, as you said.
That's it. I think there's about 146 stations in the network. And I also do some of the stations that are actually in the north of Ireland as well, although they don't use them.
Now, do you still have to sometimes update things? And how do you do that? Is it just from home?
Yeah, I have a studio at home. I suppose being a broadcaster and being, during the pandemic and COVID, we all got studios at home. And I now find it very easy, and the technology is super easy to be able to update something. In fact, the record we have is 10 minutes it took from request to being sent.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was almost live.
Yeah. Do you have a favourite station to say?
Somebody asked me that already, and I was trying hard to think about it. No, I do. I mean, the one I love, and it isn't necessarily the Dart, so probably not what you wanted, but I love the run from Mallow to Tralee. Yeah. So, you know, Bantier, Mill Street, Killarney, Farnfore, and Tralee. It has almost like a poetry to it.
Yes.
I don't know if you've ever heard the Sea Area Forecast, you know, when they call out the different places and the Malinhead
Radio
to Mizzenhead
4,
and Radio 4. To me, there's a bit of poetry about the listing of those stations as they go. Mill Street, Bantier, Rathmore, Killarney, Farnfore, and Tralee.
Even Mallow and Cork.
Cork.
Yes. Just that.
That's it. Yeah, it's those ones. And of course, you know, the other ones are the idea that, how do you pronounce them? And, you know, some people find some of the pronunciations sometimes are a little different than they expect. And that's when we were doing them. And by the way, somebody monitors me when I'm recording them. a linguistic expert to make sure that we're getting the pronunciations correct.
So now you know what happens behind the scenes of your daily commute, and maybe the next time there is a delay, you might be a bit more patient with that poor staff member from Irish Rail who has to deal with the fallout. Anyway, if you've got any more questions, get them onto us on our News Talk socials, or you can shoot me a DM personally. I'm at AlexXRowley on Instagram. And of course, if you enjoyed the podcast, then give it a follow, give it a rating to stay up to date on whatever podcast platform you are listening on. Sean, we'll be back soon. Do not worry. But from me, Alex Rowley, I hope you have a great week.